of September, the second Tuesday in September from 7 to 9:30. We're going to show videos and slideshows. We're going to have guest speakers as a fundraiser. So come one, come all, and
bring your friends.
The 10 years of Right to Survive. You want to come to Right to Survive meeting? Lisa Faye, take us out.
And bring your checkbooks. If you'd like to come to a Right to Survive meeting, our next meeting will be the fourth Thursday of this month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, 133 Southwest Davis. Southwest Davis and 6th. Right along the Max line there.
And come voice your opinion. You want to help houseless people. You know what you want. You want to know what you can do to volunteer. Come to a Right to Survive meeting. We want to thank our guests for coming on here so bravely to express how the city is sweeping them and what kind of traumatic exposure experience they're going through. And then they saying, "Oh, houseless people are crazy." You need to be afraid of us. You create of us. You be aware because we there. Salam alaikum.
Right to Survive is at www.righttosurvive.org, or you could email us at r2spdx @gmail.com. r2spdx@gmail.com. Thank you. And remember, be kind to one another.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unity, a night of feminist Latinx PDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog for Lunch in Portland. Unity features artists Maria Advertencia Lirica from Oaxaca, Valentina Peralta from Chile, Portland's Kayla J, and DJ La Pausi. Nunca fuimos de viaje a Japón. This event is also sponsored by Colectivo Ruda and Cup Hoop Creative. Again, la mula no era arisca, pero la hicieron. That's Unity, a night of feminist Latinx PDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog Fair Lounge, 830 E. Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
Michael Barton, history of mental illness and obvious dementia, died in the Oregon State Penitentiary after catching what seemed to be a simple case of the flu. As his condition worsened, nurses and medical staff at the prison repeatedly dismissed his pleas for help. While the Department of Corrections review of Mr. Barton's death called it a systems failure, Disability Rights Oregon concluded that part of that system failure was attributable to a nursing and medical culture that dismissed the needs of patients with disabilities. Join me on Prison Pipeline as we discuss the investigation of the death of Michael Barton. That's Prison Pipeline, August 19th at 6:30 p.m.
And hello world. Welcome to Wildlife, the audio magazine. My name is Perrin Willis. I'll be your radio host, your airwave flight captain, your audio realm navigator, your most humble world perspective expander. On this, our maiden voyage episode, we'll get to know each other a little bit. Unfortunately, due to the nature of reality itself, it's basically going to be you getting to know me or getting to know me a little bit more. I'm Wildlife, the audio mag. We explore all the different facets of life, from lifestyle to business to the arts and beyond, in a fresh, informative, and fun way. We even have a comic section. How about that? Every show is going to have a different, or we'll have different tracks that I've chosen that will be relevant to the show. And naturally, for the first show, why not go with the wild theme? So each of our songs that'll follow this evening are certainly going to have that theme. Some are going to be easier to recall than others. I think it's going to depend on age and also how eclectic you get with your music. But I can promise you that they're all going to be pretty fun. And I'm hoping that you find the first show to be fun. So we're just about to get into our first track called Wild Night by Van Morrison. But first, when we come back, we're going to delve into our business section of our audio mag and talk about Portland's ever-growing, ever-frustrating, but ever-available gig economy. We'll talk about some of the best gig ideas out there to make you money. So stay tuned to Wildlife, the audio mag. We'll be right back after this excellent track by Van Morrison. How about that track? Every single time that track plays, something on my body's moving. Shoulders, butt, feet, something's tapping, something's going. Let's talk a little bit about myself, I guess. I guess you might be interested in who's behind this voice that you're listening to right now. Again, my name is Perrin Willis. I moved to Portland almost 4 years ago. It was, I believe, August 2015. It was the second full moon of that month, and that's kind of how I will always remember it. Moved here from the New York area, but I grew up in New Jersey, and I've lived a couple places in between. I've lived in Hawaii, went to school at Arizona University of Bear Down, for those out there knowing about my Wildcats. Studied philosophy while there a little bit. Favorite sports team, Green Bay Packers. Anything else you'd like to know? There'll be plenty of shows after this. I figured I would just kind of give you a quicker background. Certainly, I'm sure you'll get to know me a little bit better throughout the time together in these episodes. So, but this isn't about me. The rest of the show is about you, the listeners. So let's talk first about gigs, this gig economy that that has seemed to be just blossoming so much. So certainly around the nation, but then I think specifically here in Portland. And I myself have gotten kind of jumped into it for the first time here this summer. Extra income is always fun, so I tried to find some of the fun ones to kind of do and get into that I thought would not be too time consuming, but also would be worth my time if it makes sense. So everyone knows about Postmates. I shouldn't say everyone. My sweetheart Celeste, she when I first told her I was going to be working for Postmates, she put on a straight face and she was confident about it. And she was like, "Okay, this should be fun and whatnot. It'll be a fun side gig. You know, have some fun, Perrin." A couple days later, when having this conversation with her, she goes to me. She goes, "Oh, Perrin." And this is when I started working for this other app that I'll tell you guys about in just a moment. She was like, "Oh, I'm glad you started working for this other app, because I was worried about Postmates. I'd never heard of them, and I didn't know if they were going to be like this sketchy." And I'm sitting here laughing and smiling, as I'm sure some of my listeners are now, because of the fact that I showed her shortly after that Postmates was actually the number one app when it came to the revenue out of any of these delivery apps and whatnot. So we had a nice laugh about that. But anyway, so Postmates, Uber, you guys know about those. Let's talk about some that you might not know about in Portland. A couple of them. One of them is called Rover, and a second one called Wag. They're very similar to each other. You're not going to believe what I'm about to say. I feel like Portland is going to basically take a collective gasp at the fact that they can get paid very well to walk dogs through these two apps. Again, Rover and Wag. These are two of the newer ones out there, but some of the research that I've done have found that you have people in their mid-40s who have literally left their day jobs to walk dogs and get paid for it. A gentleman named Josh Fielder, who actually is a military veteran, he spoke a little bit about starting this job. So he's quoted as saying, "Even people that I've known for 30 years say, you seem the happiest now at work doing this job," says Fielder, a military veteran who in the past worked in law enforcement as a car salesman. "I'm like, of course I am. You add puppies to any job, it gets better. Unless you're a fireman, I guess that would suck." So he's speaking a little bit about his experience with Wag, And yeah, so apparently they charge, you can set your own rates. So in markets like that, in the gig economy, TaskRabbit is another one, and we'll talk a little bit about them as well. But in markets like that within the gig economy, you basically can kind of set your prices really low, so that you can get more work, or you can set your price high, so that the work that you do get is going to be fairly priced or more than fairly priced. And that's one thing I think is always cool to look out for when it comes to some of these gig apps, being able to kind of fluctuate what you're asking to be paid, so that obviously thereby you can generate more and less work depending on kind of where you are and how you feel. But yeah, dog walking, Portland. Who doesn't like dogs? It's a super rare thing here. So I would say jumping into, like I said, Rover and Wag. Download those. Those are both pretty cool apps. One of the downsides is that you are responsible for naturally anything, like if the dog uses the bathroom in a solid way on the side of the road or anything like that, you do have to take a picture of it, or I'm sorry, you do have to clean it up. What Mr. Fielder does suggest is that you take a picture and show this to the owners and hope that they tip you a little bit more and accordingly. So again, there's Rover and Wag. I think that would be a super fun one. Other ones that I found really quickly are, one of them is called Field Agent. Field Agent is an app that basically you can be a secret shopper. And ever since I was 15, 16 and found out about secret shopping and being a secret shopper, I thought that was awesome. I could not believe they were paying me to shop. And not only that, but then pretend that, you know, basically I was someone else, or, you know, in there having fun, basically, is how I would look at it. Needling the employees of certain stores. Maybe I wouldn't put it like that, although it probably would be like that. But anyway, yeah, no. So Field Agent is, for those of you who are interested in secret shopping, it's the easiest thing. They literally will give you a task. You'll pop into, for instance, you'll pop into like Walgreens or some convenience store, and all you're doing is taking a picture, making sure that, let's say you're doing it for Oreo or something like that. You're just making sure that the Oreo display is out there. It's on the shelf. And that's it. You might have to ask some of the employees some specific questions, just because they were literally trained to have knowledge about these things. And if they don't, these are some of the things that the companies want to know about. But yeah, other than that, it's one of those things, if you're coming home from work or if you're out shopping yourself, it's an easy thing to pop open the app and make a little bit of extra money just by taking a picture or two. Then we have Dosh. Dosh is a really, really cool one. So what you do with Dosh is you attach it to your credit card. It's completely safe. The cool thing about Dosh is that you make 3% back on any of your purchases. So the way that they make money is, or I should say, I should be specific, that any of your purchases at certain vendors, it could be Starbucks, it could be CVS, or a number of different affiliates of Dosh, as long as you buy things from those affiliates, you immediately get 3% back. You literally don't have to do anything, because again, your debit card or credit card is attached to it. And so yeah, it's one of those where you don't even have to think about. And sure, you think to yourself, what's 3% of the, you know, $60 that I spend grocery shopping? Eventually, that money adds up. I believe that's $2. Eventually, someone's going to tell me about it later. Eventually, that is going to add up, and you are going to, and again, you're not paying attention. You don't have to worry about it. It's just coming to your account. And yeah, it's free lunch every now and again, basically, as it builds up. Then you have Receipt Hog. Receipt Hog is, again, just the same kind of concept where you're shopping at certain stores and you're taking a picture of the receipts, and these companies, again, they're going to pay you for that. Really quickly, I'll go through a few more of these because, of course, our show is jam-packed with a lot of fun things and a lot of information. So I'll try to go a little bit quicker here. StockX and GOAT, both of those are fantastic sites to sell sneakers and shoes on. I've seen, naturally, like, we are so lucky. We live in a city where there are a lot of shoe heads, a lot of places that sell shoes, and especially like Factory, like Nike Factory, things like that, to where you can find new shoes, really nice shoes, but at a discounted price. And these shoes go for resale on StockX, and again, GOAT are these two apps, which are basically sneaker selling and sneaker reselling apps. So literally, you could turn a profit. Let's say you buy something at the Nike Factory for $45-$50. You can resell it on StockX and GOAT if you get lucky. If someone takes that bid, depending on what you throw it up there for, you know, you can flip it for a quick $15-$20. You know, depending on how popular the shoe is and things like that. So just another quick way to make money. Shipped, S-H-I-P-T. No, I did not curse, guys. Come on, I'm a good guy. I'm one of the good guys. Shipped is an app that you can use. It's a fantastic app. Not only is it a really good way to actually make money, but you're doing something really nice for people. I've been on a couple. I've done a couple deliveries for Shipped myself. What they are is so what you're doing is you're picking up packages for people. You're picking up you know, different things like strollers or sometimes food for people. Sometimes they can't leave their house, whether it be weight issues or if they have anxiety issues. Sometimes we're talking about newer moms that are just too busy. Sometimes we're talking about folks that are newer, that are in newer homes and are just too busy, things like that, to kind of get out and do some things for themselves. So and again, it's good pay, but most importantly for me, it makes me feel good when I know that I've gotten to someone's home that I know can't get out there on their own to do some of the literally necessary shopping, some of the basic shopping that one like needs to exist, or at least exist to a certain degree comfortably. So Shipt is another fantastic app. It's like you go on it's like they send you on a scavenger hunt almost, which is a lot of fun as well. I've made anything from, I don't know, you know, 13 to 25 per delivery kind of deal, and actually a little bit more than that, based on some promos and things like that. But anyway, so that's another option. Another one that's out there right now, because Portland is super popular with the scooter apps, and everyone's riding scooters and things like that. Guess what? Those scooters, someone needs to actually they need to be charged. Someone needs to charge those scooters. So again, it's almost like another fun scavenger hunt game. On your way home or something like that, or if you have the day off, going on different scooter apps, whether it be Ride or Lime, or they're out there, folks. Of course, you've seen folks on them. They have app, or on the app, you can actually become someone who charges these things overnight, kind of like while you sleep. It's another way to make money. You make money per scooter, and it's just a really easy thing to sign up. Four, you can charge up to 10 scooters per night if you have as many chargers. And again, you're doing it in your sleep. Guys, the point of this is to make money while not having to work too hard, or to, you know, have to worry about it too much. And it works. It works. All right. So I've talked about a few different gigs out there. Last one, TaskRabbit. TaskRabbit is one where you can get out, you can get onto it, I should say. You can get onto the app and literally everything from carpentry to, you know, garden work or fixing TVs, all different kinds of things. You go on there as whether it be a handyman or just whatever you're good at. You know, you can be good at fixing things digitally. You put yourself on there, and again, it's another one where you set your price, and people reach out to you when they need someone. Not everyone wants to pay, you know, I don't know, $80 for an oil change or $100 for an oil change. There are folks, and so if you're willing to do an oil change for $40, or less than that, I'm sure there are folks out there that are willing to pay you for that, pay you for your time. So, yet another app that you can basically, kind of dictate the market on, and to me, again, that's always the best way to go. It's the most lucrative, and it always seems to rear the most opportunities. Guys, all of these are fantastic, but what I want you to watch out for is on the taxes. So most of these gig economy things, they don't take out the taxes for you. So when the taxes come around next year, you're actually going to owe on your taxes, or I should just say that you'll be required to pay taxes directly from what you made from some of these apps and some of these gig economy gigs. And it's easy to calculate because most of these apps have, they keep a record of everything you made. But as long as it's under $600 for that year, as long as you made $600 with whichever particular app, you're good. Otherwise, you're going to have to file a 1099. You're going to have to claim it. And you're going to have to make sure to basically pay those taxes back. And that is important, guys. That's an important thing to remember. I know it's tough. I know you have to be disciplined throughout the year as this money is coming in. A lot of people don't want to do it, but I do want to give you a heads up about that. That is what this business section is going to be about. Next, on our next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about financial literacy, and especially financial literacy as it pertains to the urban culture. Unfortunately, in the urban culture, it's not, it certainly wasn't taught to me growing up. Credit was not something that I really got a decent grasp on until I was in college. But I'll tell you what, I had a credit card before that. So you can imagine a few things. But yeah, when, you know, I'm 15, 16 years old, and Express is offering me essentially free money to buy a belt and a shirt that I was looking for winter formal. It was an easy yes for me without knowing some of the pitfalls. So just a preview of what we'll talk about next week, because I just feel like it's incredibly important. All over. It doesn't, you know, beyond the urban culture, certainly. But especially in the urban culture. And another thing I want to point out in this introductory episode, for now and for certainly going forward, is that here on this show, we're not going to be talking about so much about black, white, Asian, Latino. We're going to talk about culture, because that more than anything is what is important. The culture is what you're about. I've seen African Americans grow up in what folks might consider a predominantly white culture. And if that's what they know, the color of your skin has nothing to do with it, and vice versa. Not only vice versa, but, you know, kind of all inclusive in that way. So I just wanted to point that out. When we talk about that, we're going to talk about culture, just so that we don't get diluted with so many of the other things that tend to dilute us when we're talking about societal problems and how we should best attack them. So, yeah, guys. All right. So I just wanted to kind of break that down. That was this week's portion of our business episode. we are we're going to get into another wild song before jumping into the culture section of our audio magazine. Within this culture section, we're going to be chatting about the phrase keeping it real and why a well-respected musician and former gang member Trey D feels as though it's the worst phrase to have ever hit the black culture. And guess what? I think he's right. That and more after this great track by the Trogs called Wild Thing.
Let's do it. On the weekend comes, I go get live with the honey. Rolling down the street, I saw this girl when she was pumping. I winked my eyes, got into the ride, went to a club, was jumping. Introduced myself as Lo, she said, you're a liar. I said, I got it going on, baby doll, and I'm on fire. Took her to the hotel, she said, you're the king. I said, be my queen, if you know what I mean, and let's do the wild thing. Wild. Wild thing. Shopping at the mall, looking for some gear to buy. I saw this girl, she gonna rock my world, and I had to adjust my fly. She looked at me and smiled and said, you have plans for the night? I said, hopefully if things go well, I'll be with you tonight. So we journeyed to a house, one thing led to another. I key in the door, I go hit the floor, looked up and it was a mother. I didn't know what to say, I was hanging by a string. She said, hey you too, I was once like you and I like to do the wild thing. Wild thing. She loved to do the wild thing. Wild thing. Please, baby, baby, please. Posse in effect. Hanging out is always hype. And with me and the crew leave a shindig, I'm with a girl who's just my type. Saw this luscious little frame, I ain't lying, fella, she was fine. This sweet young Miss Cole gave me a kiss and I knew that she was mine. Took her to the limousine and still parked outside. I tipped the chauffeur when it was over and I gave her my own ride. Didn't get her off my jock, she was a like static cling. But that's what happens when body starts slapping from doing the wild thing. Wild thing. She wanted to do the wild thing. Please, baby, baby. Go discotheque. This fire chick was on my jock, so I said, what the heck? She wanted to come on stage and do a little dance. So I said, chill for now, and maybe later you'll get your chance. So when the show was finished, I took her around the way. And what do you know, she was good to go without a word to say. We was all alone, and she said, Tone, let me tell you one thing. I need $50 to make you holler. I get paid to do the wild thing. Say what? Yo, love, you must be kidding. Yo, walk, you ready? Just break out of here. Hasta la vista, baby. Wild thing.
Hey, now, see... Shout out to Tone Loc. Shout out to Tone Loc, everybody. I bet that was a classic that folks did not think they were going to hear tonight. But we deserve to hear that one, damn near. We deserve to hear that. Tone Loc, for some of you, you might remember him actually in Ace Ventura. He was the guy with the sandpaper in his throat. He was the guy with way too much bass in his voice. Forever. It's insane. But anyway, Wild Thing by Tone Loc, doing his thing. Let's chat a little bit about culture, folks. Culture. This is the culture section. Obviously, you know what we're going to get into when we talk about culture. So let's do just that. Like I mentioned, Trady, musician, formerly at Death Row, he once mentioned during an interview on Vlad TV that he feels like the phrase keeping it real is the worst phrase to hit the African-American culture. And I tend to agree with him. So his point was this. For a person that grew up, you know, in the hood, as it were, for a person that grew up in the hood and wants to better himself, he wants to leave the hood and go on to do something better, and maybe he doesn't get back to the hood as much. For some reason, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, but for some reason, that person, when they come back to the hood, they're seen as, he abandoned us, or, he's not keeping it real, or, you know, he's not true to where he comes from. Now, unfortunately, I think as a culture, we've been brainwashed to believe that if a man or woman is not, if he's not making money in, you know, a particular way, if he doesn't speak a particular way, if he doesn't dress a particular way, that he's, one, not representative of the culture. But I think even worse than that, he is then shunned by the culture. So you have a stigma, you know, you have to battle a stigma even to begin to grow. And I think that is something that truly is an epidemic. But that was one of the examples he gave, right? So a man or woman who leaves his hood and doesn't come back as often because of the fact that he's making certain moves. We talk about, let's say, especially entertainers and you know, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. He's certainly one of the entertainers. Probably only maybe two in my life. That when I heard he passed away, like I cried, like it was crazy. Like I actually cried. Based on, you know, obviously for what he did for the community. And whatnot, but kind of looking at that situation as a whole, and I'm certainly of the mindset that, bro, we're all free on this planet. We could like, if that's where I decide to be, if I decide I'm gonna make a few million dollars and you know what I'm saying, and rebuild the hood, like that's a gorgeous thing. That's an absolutely beautiful thing. But how would Nipsey Hussle have been looked at if he was a lot of these athletes and a lot of these other rappers who didn't give back, you know? Yeah, he'd still be with us, you know what I'm saying, for the most part. Like let's assume for this exercise he'd still be with us, we still have him, you know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things that's sad. Like you can't even it's that catch 22. If you don't come back to the hood, you know, you lose all respect regardless of what you've done and kind of, as they say, you know, I'm talking positively, but the work that you've put in to your community is seen as a negative. But then if you do, you expose yourself to some of the hate, some of the negativity that, and trust me, let me also say that there's a lot of love in the hood. I grew up in, there's a lot of love in the hood. So, but also, there's a lot of suckers in the hood. There's a lot of people that are haters. There's a lot of people that don't want you to grow, and it's a lot of people with crab in a barrel mentalities, because that's what they were, because that's what they were taught, and that's what they see. But anyway, it's just the breakdown. It's just the understanding that, you know, it's an unfortunate catch 22 that we are responsible for. Let's cut everything out. Let's talk amongst ourselves real quick, just with the world listening. Like, we are responsible in certain ways when it comes to that. We should at every instance, we should be backing, you know what I'm saying, our people with positivity when positive things are happening. There's just no doubt about that, because of the fact that there's already too much negativity going on for us to be holding ourselves down. But everybody listening that is of the culture knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I know y'all know on the deepest levels, that is real. That is absolutely real. Like, what is speaking of keeping it real, that's real. That's keeping it real. Taking care of your kids, that's keeping it real. Working a job, whatever job it takes, to make sure that there's food on the table for your family, that's keeping it real. My man and women, that is keeping it real. Making sure that your kids have before you do, that is keeping it real. And again, yeah, so that's just something that is absolutely dear to my heart. Let's cut it out. Let's cut that phrase out right now. Like, I'm pledging to do it. I've pledged to do it. It's a bozo phrase. It's not cool at all. It's not helpful at all. Let's redefine what's real. Real is love. Like, how many times have we understood that in life? And I don't care what culture you come from, what background you come from. We've all understood that love is real and real is love. And we said that to ourselves and we felt it. That's the most important part, is that we felt it before. Like, it's rare that we love and it goes wrong when we're looking at it from the right angle. But everybody knows the phrase, when keeping it real goes wrong. When keeping it real goes wrong, when trying to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, from egotistical origins, basically. So that, my friends, is our segment on culture. That's how we're gonna do it going forward. These are the kind of talks that we're gonna have going forward, and these talks are not gonna be divisive. They're gonna be very inclusive. What I'm trying to do is integrate cultures. One of the reasons I moved to Portland is because of the fact that I heard a lot of talk about the integration of cultures, and I've seen that. I've seen proactivity with that, and sometimes, you know, of course, there's uncomfortability when you have anytime you have two dynamics come together, period. But what I think is beautiful about Portland is that I've watched people proactively try to come together and be a part of that. So kudos to Portland. I'm happy to be here. I love being here. So like I said, that is our magazine section on culture. Next up, we are going to be talking about lifestyles. We're going to go into our lifestyle section, and specifically within our lifestyle section, we're going to be talking about life hacks. So we're going to be getting to that right now.
Welcome to television's unchallenged authority on wealth, prestige, and success. It's another dazzling Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Meet the stars of show business and big business. Discover how life's winners live, love, and spend their fortunes. Enter their dazzling world of luxury on privileged tours of the fantasy palaces they call home. Host is
Willis, of course. Perrin Willis is your host. Duh, I'm still here, guys. Come on. I just thought that would be a super fun intro. Some of you may remember that. Some of you might not. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. So we are now in our lifestyles section of our audio magazine. And today in our lifestyles section, we're going to be talking about some of the best, funniest, and useful life hacks that will save you money and streamline the constant process known as your life. So let's just jump right into it. As we're tightening up on time a little bit, guys, it's been a fun time. So number one, we all have phones. 90% of us, 95% of us maybe, have phones, and for some strange reason, our phone cords, they usually get torn, frayed, just ripped, broken in one way or another. And then we decide to buy ourselves either a $5 one or a $5 replacement from 7-Eleven that we'll be back in a week to replace again, or a $35 one that we're not too keen on getting, or at least our bank accounts aren't. So here's a great tip. Go inside of any pen that you don't like. I know that you guys, some people, you know, you have your favorite pens, second favorite pens, all those things. Go into any pen and find that spring and wrap that spring around your phone cord. Simple enough, right? So if you wrap it around your phone cord right at the tip, or the base, if you will, that goes into whether it be your iPad or your Android. I'm an Android guy. If you put that right at the tip, it actually holds the cord in place enough so that it doesn't fray as quickly or as much. So that's a great tip. Candles. I like candles. a lot of friends like candles. I feel like Portland, a lot of candles around in Portland. It's just a thing. So when you get to the bottom of the candle and it's really hard to light, and you try to flip it over and use like a Bic, and you end up singeing that lovely thumb of yours, try using a dried spaghetti pasta, one piece, light the tip of it on fire, and it actually burns with almost the same consistency as like a lit match, and it certainly has the length so that you can light just about any candle that might have been on your shelf and that you might have considered as a retired candle. One of my favorite life hacks is being able to put tank tops on a single hanger. All right, so any single hanger in your house, you can hang probably up to 10, 15 different tank tops on one hanger, which will totally save you space. So the way to do that is plastic rings from the shower curtains. You might have them in the garage from an old shower curtain. You might not even care about having a shower curtain up. You live alone now. So you might use those. The plastic rings might be better used for this. But yeah, simply connect those plastic rings to your hanger, to the hanging part of your hanger, naturally. And then you can put your tank tops kind of on those plastic rings and kind of line them up. And it saves you tons and tons and tons of money. Another really cool one that I found, guys, don't at me, as they say on Instagram. I don't even have an Instagram, but don't at me. They say, I don't like eggs, or not they say, I personally do not like eggs. I've never liked eggs. Not my thing, but I know that there's plenty of folks in Portland that love eggs. And even more so, there's so many people in Portland that love to cook. So how do you separate an egg yolk from the rest of the runny part of the egg? This is how much I know about eggs. The scientific term being the runny part of the... anyway, you can use a plastic bottle to very easily... I think you'll be amazed at how easy it is to actually scoop the egg yolk right up into it and separate it onto another plate. You know, for when you need to do that. omelets. People like omelets, I guess. That's a thing. I honestly don't know too many reasons why one might separate, but yeah. Wait till I bring up the show about burgers and tacos and such. I have plenty of information, more information than you might want to know. But yeah, and last but not least, for the summertime, I know we're nearing the end of summer, guys, but it's been hot this week. So how about some do-it-yourself sprinklers? You can grab a 1 liter or a 2 liter plastic bottle. Poke some holes in it. Poke some thin holes in it. You can use anything from a nail that you have in your garage to a pen that's not too thick. And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to attach the end of your hose to the end of the bottle, naturally. You can use anything from duct tape, masking would work. But yeah, I'm sure you're already imagining it. You connect the two, the end of the hose to the top of the bottle, connect those two, make sure that you wrap them up super tight. Some hoses actually can fit inside those bottles and vice versa. So creating even more of a seal. And then you know what, before summer's over, either you have some sprinklers for your kids to play in, or you're actually going to save your grass that's been dying in some of this heat, or your garden as well. But I'm guessing you've got something for your garden already. So anyway, so that has been our lifestyles section for this week. Every week, I'm going to try to sneak in a couple life hacks, just because I find that they're useful, they're fun, and again, they save us money and they streamline this crazy life of ours. All right, so next up, we're going to get into our sports section. Yeah, but first, we're going to play a song from that actually was made popular by a pro baseball comedy flick called Major League. Here's Wild Thing by the Trogs.
Sure. Come on, hold me tight. I love you.
Can you hear me? All right, cool. I was going to say that instead of playing Will Smith, the Wild Wild West, after this sports section, we can go right into the outro because it's coming up on it.
Wild thing, you make my heart.
Wild Thing by the Trogs. Super, super awesome song. Once again, in that show, or I'm sorry, in the movie Major League, I'm sure a lot of you remember Charlie Sheen walking out to the plate. His nickname was the Wild Thing, and he just shut things down. He just shut things down. You guys might want to end your night on this one. And it's almost kid friendly. It's almost kid friendly. Anyway, yeah, we are into our sports section, and it's going to be our final section for today, because we've had so much fun here. I usually like to end off with a comics section, just like you'd have in the newspaper or magazine or something like that. But we can do that next week, and that's going to be a blast next week. But let's chat a little bit about Portland sports. So one of the awesome things, some of you might have heard last year, but it's kind of, I've been hearing whispers again this year about a Major League Portland baseball team. How exciting is that? How exciting is that, guys? So we already have the Timbers. Yep, the Portland Pickles, they do their thing. Certainly, I've been out there and had a lot of fun. But dudes and dudettes, the possibility of having our own Portland baseball team, I think, would be absolutely incredible. Right now, it's being backed by Russell Wilson and Sierra. How about that? Seattle Seahawk doing something for us. Is this the first olive branch being given from Seattle to Portland? Can we possibly exist on the same coast? We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, definitely, it's called the Portland Diamond Project. If you guys want to look it up, check it out. It's exciting stuff. They're hoping to get us a Major League Baseball team here within the next 3 or 4 years. That is going to be incredible. We'll talk more about that on a later show. Before we end here, I would just like to mention, while we're also in this sports section, that throughout these episodes, I'm going to be doing youth sports. I'm going to be a flag football coach this season, as well as a youth basketball coach for like 8 to 10 year olds, and specifically I'm going to be coaching one that lives in my household, young Jasper, and I cannot wait to coach him. He's super stoked to play flag football, for one of the reasons, because he won't be playing real football, but I'm super stoked to be playing flag football, and I am even more stoked to be coaching. I'm going to be coaching with I-9 Sports. Got folks, get out there, coach. It is super fulfilling. It's just something that I just wanted to advocate for before I ran. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on our maiden voyage on Wildlife, the audio mag. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so August 24th, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We're going to be back, and we're going to be fresh, and we're going to do everything that we did here, but guess what? Even a little bit better. All right, we're going to play you out with a little Cat Stevens, Wild World. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Later.
Everything to you. You say you wanna start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving, but if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear, but then a lot of nice things turn bad out there.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting Taj Mahal with Mark Cohn, featuring guest vocalist Blind Boys of Alabama, Friday, August 16th, all ages welcome. Tickets and more information available online at zooconcerts.com. You are tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
Give me an F!
Yeah.
Give me a C.
Yeah.
Tune in August 16th from noon till 4 p.m. for KBOO's celebration of Woodstock 50 years later, featuring previously unreleased music and more from the original festival tapes, plus recent interviews with the voices of participants and musicians who attended the festival, including Country Joe of Country Joe and the Fish and Jorma Kaukonen of the original Jefferson Airplane. That's August 16th starting at noon for KBOO's celebration of Woodstock 50 years later. Tune in.
Good afternoon. I get home from school. My dad said, we're all going to the drive-in. Double features on Monkey's Uncle and the Monsters Got Home. You wanna go? I said, no thanks. I can think it's about summer. It's almost here. That means